Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament proclaims the works of his hands. So begins Psalm 19. We sell our ancestral traditions short if we don't delve deeper into what that means, says Dr. Damian Costello. Hello, Metaki Epi, and welcome to Hochoka here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, your Hochoka host. We're glad you have joined our circle with Dr. Damian Costello, a frequent guest who joins us again to bring another fresh perspective on Catholicism through an indigenous lens. Welcome, Damian.
Good to be here.
Good to have you back. Mm-hmm. So we're here in another harsh winter, you know, suffering through here, and it makes me think about the Lakota people who are out on the prairie, and they're out there in the winter weather. I had this conversation with Joseph Marshall about storytelling, and talked about how long the winters were and how it must have been a rich time to sit around in the teepee and do a lot of talking or do a lot of storytelling. As we you know, sit through another winter and tell our stories again, we'll look at the Lakota Star story and see how that might uncover some hidden Catholic wisdom. I'll have you make that connection today.
Sure. Yeah, it's good to recognize from the start here that winter time was the traditional storytelling time. And in a lot of traditions, some stories you could only tell during the winter. And the other thing that's very tangible is that you also see the stars much better in the wintertime for a number of reasons. The cold air is much clearer and the nights are much longer.
Yeah.
You know, in the summertime, you go outside 9, 10 o'clock, you're not going to see the stars yet.
Right.
And the sun is up when you wake up.
Yeah.
So in many ways, wintertime is the time of the star nation.
Absolutely. It's also true, you know, I've heard this, I can't make it up, it's science, but humans and our galaxy have about 97% of the same kind of atoms, okay? It's the same building block of life, right, for both of us. And what's always amazing to me, of course, is that Native people always kind of understood this without the science piece of it. You know, they just had an understanding because of their relationship. Can you talk about that a little more?
Sure. You know, I think the scientific way of looking at things has uncovered some really beautiful insights into who we are as human beings. And one of them is that we do literally come from the stars. Mm-hmm. It took those supernovas, those massive explosions to sort of synthesize the more complex atoms that we have, that we need in order to even exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so why are we here? We're in part here because stars were born, aged, and died, and gave their life that we may live.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But I also think, you know, we're sort of locked in a very sad way of looking at things. You know, as we started to understand how big the universe was, we became smaller and smaller and more isolated. And you hear this today, you know, people who are depressed or pessimistic, you know, we're such a tiny little speck in the vast emptiness of space. What does it even matter?
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing that any of our ancestors, and particularly indigenous people, would have ever understood, because they knew that the heavens, the stars were very close and that they were our relatives.
Yeah. I love that. That's, and you talk about We talk about Metake Oyasan often, and that connection between everything that there is, and that's another piece of it, is the connection between us and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel connected, it's hard to feel pessimism, hard to feel sad, even in the middle of a winter where nobody's getting any vitamin D and that type of thing.
Right? Yeah. You know, and we'll tell a story in a little bit about Starboy from a Lakota perspective, about what that relationship looks like. But I love the Navajo story of Coyote and how the stars were set out the way they are. So the constellations are, like many other beings in the universe, in the world, are the holy people, the Ndine'e. They're powerful, and they teach us, and they give us gifts. And they're also there because they represent the way the world is, that sacred way. So you talk about ceremonies in the Lakota way. We talked about the Sundance, the seven sacred ceremonies. That's not just arbitrary. Mm-hmm. It wasn't invented by human beings. That was given by the spirits in a reflection of the world as it is. And so the Navajo tell this story that there was, you know, this first man and first woman. First man was setting the stars. He had his blanket covered with jewels. And he was very carefully setting them in the sky in these different patterns. And the Navajo have very beautiful names and stories about what each constellation means. But Coyote came around, and who is a trickster, like mm-hmm. in many traditions. And he said, well, what are you doing, first man? And he said, well, I'm setting the stars out. And I'm doing it very carefully because these are the ways they will teach our people. And so Coyote is very, you know, impetuous and demanding. He says, I want to help. Let me help. Come on. And so first man finally lets him, and he starts to put them out, and he gets frustrated. He's like, this is hard work. This is slow going. Look at these thousands of jewels we have here, and this will never get done. There's got to be a faster way. And first man said, no, slow, careful. This is the way of the holy people. As finally, Coyote gets frustrated. He grabs a blanket and he flings it, and all the stars are thrown up into the sky randomly now. And so you have the constellations that first man set out, but then you have the disorder that Coyote created, mm-hmm. that sort of mix that you see in the sky and you see in the world.
Yeah, yep. Some is intentional and some is absolutely as random as it mm-hmm. can possibly be. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, yeah, that chaos that we have to have. I mean, that's why Coyote is such an important part, I think, that chaos mm-hmm. that comes with that yin-yang of the order we try to make of our lives, right?
Yeah. And so the Lakotas tell the story of Starboy, which I think reflects that both chaos and relationship that human beings have with the stars. The story is told, and there's lots of different versions out there. And he talks about the two girls who are looking up at the night sky, maybe at wintertime. And one says to the other, I'm going to marry one of the stars. And the stars heard. Came to be that two men came and found the girls and said, we're the stars that you talked about. We're coming to take you back to the star nations, up to the sky. And so they bring the girls up to the sky where they have a very good and beautiful life, but there's one thing that they can't do, and that's they can't eat the turnip. And of course, like we human beings all too often, we want what we can't have. Mm-hmm. So she wrestles with it, and she says, well, I'll just pick one. What harm can one turnip do? So she picks it, and in the process, she opens up a hole in the sky world. And she looks down, and she remembers what her life was like there and her relatives that are still down there. And she starts to pick more and braids them together and then uses them as a rope to climb down. But partway, she slips and falls down to the earth and dies. But she was with child, with her husband, the star husband, and the boy is born, and the animals come together and take care of the young boy. And the boy grows quickly, like many of the heroes in these stories, and he grows up to be, he's called Star Boy, and he realizes he's a protector of the Lakota people. So one day, Star Boy is traveling, and he comes to a village that is very sad and is in chaos, and they tell him that there's this red bird who has been taking their young girls, taking them away, and they can't get the girls back, and they're mourning their loss. And so Star Boy takes it upon himself to go find the bird, and he finds the bird and he kills it and rescues the girls, but he's unable to save them. And so as the final act, he brings them up into the sky, and with them places the stars that we call the Big Dipper.
And my understanding of that, my very limited understanding of that, I'll say right up front, my wife is a Native American studies teacher, and she's taught me the best she can, right? Mm-hmm. But the girls went back into the night sky and became Wichinchilashakowi, which is the seven little girls became known to the folks that came out here mm-hmm. later, the settlers, the pioneers, to them as the Big Dipper, correct? So my understanding of the Lakota understanding of the Big Dipper, or Wichinchilashakawi, is that every Lakota baby is given a spirit from a star or a wanagi, mm-hmm. which is that form of spirit, and that as we live here, you know, as we grow from being that baby, we carry that wanagi with us, or that spirit with us. When we die, the wanagi leaves our body, goes back to the Big Dipper, and the four stars in the Dipper part of the actual Big Dipper, they carry those wanagi in them as in a blanket, and it's accompanied to the Milky Way by the seven stars. So the three that make up the handle are the mourners, and they carry the ones that are the points on the blanket. They carry them up to the Milky Way. And so are there any connections? And that's my understanding of mm-hmm. it. I want to be very upfront about that I'm Mikchewi Chash. That's my limited understanding. I'm not speaking as the authority on that. But do you see a connection that you can make with that? You're nodding your head already.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, let's see what you got.
Well, you know, I'm sure people listening by now know I'll do that with anything, right? That's my...
And I challenge you each time, right?
And, you know, on the surface, if somebody had given this to me 10 years ago, I would say, well, I've never really heard much in my experience, right?
Right.
This would be an area where it seems to be the most different from Catholic teaching. Like, Catholics don't talk about the stars very much, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem. But as I've sat with that again, and I think this requires first to sit with the Lakota, the indigenous teachings first, to get to know them, mm-hmm. right? To really understand what's being said. Okay, the stars are holy beings, they're our relatives, mm-hmm. and they have deep connection to us. Mm-hmm. And then you start to sit with the Catholic tradition and things jump out. Like, for example, Jesus is called in the Bible a couple different places, the morning star.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, in Lakota tradition, I know Black Elk, he would get up early and pray with the morning star to give him wisdom. Mm-hmm. That was really a real friend to him. And in the Catholic way, if you sit with it from a Lakota perspective, it's saying Jesus is a star boy, right? And what is a savior? You know, last episode, we talked about the Sundance and Jesus's passion, his suffering and his death and his resurrection, mm-hmm. like how similar that was to what Sundancers undergo mm-hmm. for the people that they may live.
Right, right.
And that very short statement, you know, you're saying a lot about the protective power of who Jesus is, mm-hmm. his love for the people, and his willingness to sacrifice in order to protect us.
Right. Could you see Star Boy as a savior for the people? I mean, I picked that up from the story.
Oh, absolutely.
Completely. Yeah.
You know, that these holy people are here to save us, you know, and they save us from different things, right? Jesus died so that we may have life eternal. Star Boy is here, we might say, for us to flourish here on earth, mm-hmm. live in the best way, in a good way, mm-hmm. right? That's a kind of savior.
Yeah. So if you were to ask me, what do I take away from all of this, everything we've talked about in this discussion, it all comes back pretty simply with me. Maybe I'm too simple sometimes, but I think it works generally when you try not to overthink it too much. But that connection that we all need to live, and I just love the idea of making relatives, and I love the ideas of the idea of extending that into the universe, into the stars, and to literally, I believe the word is makasatomnia. It's everything that there is. It's everything. So when I pray to the seventh direction, I pray, you know, I pray to the west, to the north, to the east, to the south, and up above, and grandfather, and down below to Unchi Maka. Mm-hmm. But then when I pray to the seventh direction, I pray within, but I also pray makasatomnia to literally everything there is, and I take that out of these stories. What do you take from it?
That's such a beautiful insight into how this can get traction on the ground, right? I think when Christians think about prayer, it's so often about either fix what's inside me or take me out of where I am to where the good place is.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to pray like you just described. To connect with everything that's around us and to let the goodness that we are experiencing flow into that, or the goodness that's around us to flow back into us at the same time. You know, there's one other story I'll finish with, a little song. That's one of the oldest songs that we know of in the Roman Catholic tradition, the Latin tradition, Ave Maris Stella, Mary Star of the Sea. It's one of the oldest Latin chants we have. And it's a seven-verse song, so I love it because I feel like, wow, that's the seven directions. And it's to Mary Star of the Sea. And sailors often would sing this at night before, as it was getting dark, like that transition time. You know, the sea is a very dangerous, risky place to be. And it's also a place in which the stars are your most important relatives. You know, we could do episodes about how the Pacific people traveled and made homes through the largest ocean on the planet. They took all the land on Earth and put it in the Pacific. It'd be smaller than the Pacific. And it was the stars that guided them. But anyway, they would sing this song to the North Star because they understood that to be Mary. That was their relative. So even in the Catholic way, there's this understanding which the spirits live in the stars and are here with us. Let's remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is great conversation, and and I just want to say every time we get together to talk about these things and we explore connections and that kind of thing, I think I get lifted up through these kinds of conversations, and that's the whole idea is that we bring that, right? We move things ahead a little bit and try to do things, bring a little of that to our viewers too. And so I just want to say Wopila to you for being here and sharing this information, not only with me, but with our viewers too. So,
and I want to say thank you because I can't have this conversation in most places, you know, in its fullness. St. Joseph's Indian School, I think, has that sort of openness of spirit and vision to say, you know, we need to find the best of all of our traditions to go forward in a better way. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of that conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And we thank our viewers here at Ho-Choka at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus, where we talk about issues that are central to Native American education today. Until next time, stay centered.